like to thank the Reverend Paul for the introduction. It is good to be with you. My heart is still pounding, not because of any nerves or anything like that, but I took the opportunity in the car to close my eyes and to have a few minutes nap. And of course, with the Reverend Paul's driving, you need to have great faith in order to do that. But I was sound asleep, dreaming. I don't even know if I was dreaming, but I was certainly out for the count. And next thing, all I hear is somebody roaring beside me, "Shark!" And I opened my eyes, and it took me a second to realise that I was nowhere near the sea, and I was safe and sound on the road. But we were just coming into Lough, and I suppose that was our brother's way of making sure that I was wide awake for the service here this afternoon. But I will get my own back at some stage, I'm sure, and he will know when that happens. But it is good to be with you, and it's a joy to be able to testify and to tell what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. I want to read just one verse of Scripture. It's found in 2 Timothy 3 in the verse 15. A verse that certainly sums up my testimony, and perhaps it sums up yours as well. 2 Timothy 3, the verse 15, and it simply says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And like Timothy, from an early age I knew the scriptures. I knew what it meant to turn from sin, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew the importance of it. From my earliest days, that's what I was taught through the faithful teaching of my parents. I was born into a Christian home, and therefore, from that early age, I did know the gospel. It was at the age of 4 in 1990 that I remember getting ready for a children's meeting, and my father was with me. He was making sure that I was doing all that needs to be done in order for a young boy of 4 years of age to go out. I had to brush my teeth, and my father was supervising and making sure that I was doing it. Maybe there's some of the children here, and you've had that experience. You've been told to go and brush your teeth, and maybe mum or dad, they've come too to make sure that you're doing what you're told, because it's very easy to say, "Yes, mum, I've brushed my teeth," and well, the evidence is there that you haven't. But my father was making sure I was doing that, and I turned to him, and I'd already spoken to him on a number of occasions. I turned to him and I said, "Dad, I want to be saved." And we knelt down beside the bath in that house, and it was there that he led me to the Lord. And I knew that I was saved that day. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I was a young child. I didn't know that much about the Bible. I knew the basics, that I was a sinner, that the Lord Jesus Christ died to save sinners. And if I turned from sin and trusted in him, I could be saved. That was all I knew. But I knew the fundamentals, the core message of the gospel. I didn't know any of the theological doctrines that we would learn at the Whitfield College of the Bible in later years. I just knew the basics. And the Lord saved me. And I was saved in Guildford. And it was later on, when I was going to college, that every time I went to college, I passed the house in which I was saved. And certainly I was mentioning to the folk in Port Lincoln earlier that Bible college was difficult, but it was good when driving past the house that you were saved. It was a good encouragement to know that the Lord had saved you and the Lord would be with you with what you were about to face in Hebrew class or Greek or whatever it was. But certainly I knew that the Lord had saved me. Throughout my years as a child, I wanted to be a preacher. If you would ask a child what they want to be, well, they want to be a policeman, or they want to join the army, or they want to be a doctor or a farmer. Maybe there's a girl and she wants to be a nurse. I wanted to be a preacher. But when I reached later years into my teens, I decided that that was not what I wanted to do. And I tried to focus on another occupation, and I wanted to go and join the Navy and see the world. I wanted to going to computers and different things, but I couldn't settle. I wasn't happy on those things. And the Lord was continually calling me and speaking to me and challenging me to leave those things behind and to go into college and to train for the ministry. And the Lord, from when I was about 12 or 13 years old, the Lord was speaking to me about going and serving him. The Lord said, go, as it were, but I said no. I was happy helping out in the youth committee, in the youth work in the church, and in the Sundays or in the children's meetings. I was happy going on outreach with the youth council, and going across to England or Scotland or Wales, to the south of Ireland and helping out there. I was happy doing a bit of preaching in the youth fellowship and later years in our church in the Isle of Man and in other places, but I didn't want to take that final step and to go in to Bible college. But the Lord said, go. And the Lord spoke to me through many verses of Scripture, through Jeremiah chapter 1, especially. And I'll just draw your attention very quickly to that passage of Scripture, Jeremiah chapter 1. And it says there in the verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. That's a great promise there, especially for the preacher. Be not afraid of their faces. But certainly the Lord was given a message here to Jeremiah. But as I read it, the Lord challenged me through it. And I had put up many excuses before the Lord. My father in my own church preached a series of messages on the excuses the Lord put before, or the excuses the Lord put before Moses. And Moses said that he couldn't speak. Moses said a whole lot of things. But the Lord had a purpose for him. The Lord had something for Moses to do. And as my father preached on the excuses that Moses put before the Lord, he dismantled every single excuse I was putting before the Lord as to why I didn't want to go and serve him. My father did. He didn't know anything at all about my situation. He didn't know that the Lord was challenging me about going and serving him. He didn't know anything like that. But the Lord used him to bring that message to me. I was working in Tesco, the supermarket, for a while. And I was on night shift and I was listening to a number of sermons as I stacked the shelves. And there was a series by Dr. Alan Kearns on discipleship. And as I listened to that sermon, he said that you may be a doctor or a farmer or a nurse, and the Lord could be calling you to leave all that behind and to go out and serve him. He said you may even be stacking beans on a supermarket shelf, and the Lord could be telling you to leave that behind to go and serve him. And at that particular point when he said that, I was putting beans, Heinz big beans, onto the supermarket shelf. I could take you to the exact place, only it's been renovated since. But the beans, well, they didn't all go on the shelf. Some ended up, I think, everywhere. But, well, that was one of the things the Lord used to challenge me about service. And I entered the Whitfield College of the Bible in 2009, and I knew the Lord's help throughout. Certainly college was a blessing. It was also a challenge. When you come to the languages like Greek and Hebrew, it was no problem for our brother here. He only had to look at the Hebrew word, and he knew it, and he knew all the thing. He just had to look at it. But some of us had to study and to get through it. I'm sure our brother certainly studied as well. But it would have been great if you could just look at the word and you could remember it, like some sort of a photographic memory. But there was lots of hours spent studying and getting nowhere at times. But the Lord gave help, and I graduated last year. I spent a number of months in Perth until the Reverend Philip Gardner arrived. So I've experienced Australia before, only in the big city. I was telling some folk back at home that I was in Perth, and they said, well, you've been to Australia before, you know what it's like. I said, well, it might be a bit different this time. Perth is about 1.9 million people. And I says, Loch doesn't have 1.9 million people. It's just slightly smaller than that. Certainly it's a different part of Australia. And I'm looking forward to serving the Lord here. I'm grateful for the opportunity that the Mission Board has given me of coming and working amongst you. And I trust the Lord will bless. I arrived last Saturday in Melbourne, and I spent a number of days in Melbourne to try and get a holiday after a busy summer of working and preaching as well. But that wasn't to be, because on the Saturday night or the Sunday morning I was bitten by something. I'd only just arrived and the Australian wildlife was trying to eat me. After spending about 3 days in bed and a trip to the hospital to get medication, I eventually arrived in Port Lincoln, half dazed, and I don't think I knew quite where I was. But I'm hopefully getting over this bite, and hopefully it won't cause any more trouble. But it is good to be here, and I thank you for your prayers during my arrival, and prayers for the ministry here. And we trust the Lord will bless. The Lord will extend his kingdom as we work here amongst you. Amen. We trust the speak word of testimony has been a blessing to you, and we'll hand back now to the Reverend Hall.